Perhaps Schrödinger's cat is trying to tell us something completely different. Instead of seeing quantum behavior as exotic, paradoxical, and far removed from ordinary life, it could be that all of us are existing in a quantum state already, and quanta are just imitating us. If we ask whether Schrödinger's cat is dead or alive inside the box, the possible answers are yes, no, both, and neither. Why does this appear so paradoxical? If a boy takes a girl to see the latest Marvel Comics movie and asks her if she wants popcorn or a Coke, she might say yes or no to either one, pick both, or want nothing at all. This is naturally how free will works. Choice is open to all possibilities until a choice is made. Let's put the girl in Schrödinger's box, without the poison and the radioactivity. Before we open the box to find out if she wants popcorn or a Coke, in what state is her answer? Is it a superposition of yes, no, both, or nothing? The answer is that this is the wrong question to ask if you know how the mind works. The girl is simply waiting to make up her mind. Her answer doesn't inhabit an exotic limbo, like an atom smeared between decaying and not decaying. But the two situations aren't completely different. Even though we have thoughts all the time, we don't know where they exist before we think them. By the same token, we don't know where our next word exists before we speak it. In fact, being able to call up a word out of thin air is rather miraculous. If you want to tell a friend that you saw the pandas at the Washington Zoo, you simply say so. You don't rifle through a mental library of Chinese mammals until the right verbal tag is found. A computer can't duplicate this everyday feat. It must consult a storage bank of programmed memories in order to match word and meaning. In fact, no computer knows the meaning of any word. You could say that thoughts and words are in a kind of silent limbo, waiting to be called upon by the mind. Words are just possibilities waiting to emerge into the world, as quanta do. Wheeler touched on an important point about reality when he said that quanta don't have properties until they are perceived. Likewise, the contents of our minds. Try to describe what your exact thought will be at noon tomorrow. Will it be angry, sad, happy, anxious, optimistic? Will you be thinking about lunch, work, family, or the weekend football game? You can't make an accurate prediction because a thought, like a quantum, has no properties before it pops into existence. There's no mystery to this if we honor Einstein's warning that we shouldn't play games with reality. What physicists called quantum indeterminacy stands for the fact that quanta can't be known until the very moment of measurement. The same is true of thoughts, words, human behavior, and the evening news. The reason we rush to find out the latest disaster on the evening news is that we are well adapted to reality as a messy, unpredictable thing, rough around the edges, and ruled by uncertainty. The quantum revolution didn't introduce these elements into our lives. It merely expanded them from the human into the quantum world. Are we ready now to take the big leap and say that human beings created the quantum world? Not quite. The issue of how an observer affects reality hasn't been settled. Some very strange quantum behavior still needs to be domesticated. But we've reached a turning point. The Heisenberg cut, in real-life terms, is a mirage. All of us live in the multidimensional quantum world. We project ourselves into everything we experience, not just by observing, but by participating in the reality that emerges. When we do this, are we being self-centered, injecting human qualities into the universe because it suits our vanity? Or did the universe already contain mind in the first place? That's the hot-button issue lying at the heart of the next mystery.